This election season, if not the entire past year, has been nothing if not contentious, with both sides claiming to cling firmly to their values. This begs the question, what makes you want to vote for your chosen candidates? What values do you have in common? This is a show about you, your values, and why you're voting the way you are. To help us get started, we'll speak with guests representing the two major political parties. But ideally, we want to hear from you. Send us your questions or comments right now, if you choose, to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post a comment to the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKUEST. And in just a few minutes, we'll open the phones as well. It is time for Eastern Standard. We're talking about the values behind your vote right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I am John Hingsbergen, and today we are here to talk about our values as voters. The emphasis on today's show is why are you voting? We want to hear your values, not necessarily how or whom you are voting for, but what shapes your votes. And in order to get that conversation started, we have invited two guests to join us in the studio, folks with admittedly partisan views. We have first up with us Trey Watson, who is communication director for the Republican Party of Kentucky. Trey has spent over 14 years working in politics in some form or another.
That's right.
Excellent. A graduate of Center College.
Yes, just down the road in Danville.
And you were telling me before the show that you graduated from college and you were working on a campaign right after.
3 days later.
What was that campaign?
It was actually Jay Katzen, who ran against Rick Boucher for Congress in the 9th District. And funny connection to 2016, Jay Katzen had lost the previous year to Tim Kaine for lieutenant governor in Virginia. So.
Interesting. Daniel Lowry is communication director for the Kentucky Democratic Party, which you're relatively new in. As of February of this year, before that, you were director of communications for the Kentucky Labor Cabinet, an organization, of course, not unfamiliar with politics.
Right. Right.
And your background, where did you go to school?
Georgetown College. Grew up in Kentucky my whole life. And so both of us are from central Kentucky.
And, of course, appropriately on our program.
Right.
But that reaches much of central and southeastern Kentucky. Today's show is, every week's show is an interactive show, but we want to really emphasize today that we want to hear from our listeners. I think everyone in this room, I hope you guys are, we're all on the same page in terms of being really glad that this election will be over in just 5 days. Of course, you'll hear full coverage on Tuesday night starting at 8 o'clock on the WEKU stations, and it'll continue until the wee hours of the morning. And hopefully we will have outcomes on all the races that we care about by that time. But we're interested in your thought process, your values behind your vote, and not just for the presidential race. We're talking about there's a statewide Senate race, of course. There are six House districts in the Commonwealth of Kentucky that are up for grabs. A couple of those are not uncontested, so no big issue there. Is it the entire House of Representatives?
Yep, all 100 seats are up.
And this could be very decisive in terms of the direction Kentucky will go, because that House has been controlled by a relatively slim majority of Democrats. I know you folks in the Republican Party have been salivating that House for quite some time, and you're hoping for a change there. Is it half of the state Senate?
Yes, are
up for grabs. There's some judgeships. There are some city commission races. There are some mayoral races, certainly in some communities, I guess. We're interested in what's behind your vote this morning. 800-621-8890. Go ahead and call in, get on the line, and let us know. Again, we want to talk about your values. We do not want you to try to convince others to vote your way. This is not Facebook. So please, just we want to hear your, in all seriousness, we want to talk about the values behind your vote. And I want to start our conversation. Sorry for the long, long introduction, but let's start the conversation by asking our guests to talk about your values. Let me start with Daniel Lowry of the Democratic Party. Values, first of all, of Democratic Party. Why are you a Democrat?
Right. Well, two things for me really stand out. And most Democrats, when I ask them the question, why are you a Democrat, they start with the answer that I care about this, and they tell me what they care about. And two things do stand out. One of those is education. We really care about education for Kentucky. The public education system is important for our future. It's a great investment to be able to make our state more economically strong. And the second is healthcare. And healthcare is important for a number of reasons, but one of those reasons is economic, and the fact that you want a healthy workforce. And every company that wants to come to Kentucky is very interested in having good workers, skilled workers, and healthy workers.
Those two.
Those are the two that really stand out. I mean,
those are more specific to this year's election?
I think they are specific to this year, but in general, those two, along with the economy and jobs and creating jobs in Kentucky, because I think for most Kentuckians, their health, the future with education, and the fact that we want to have strong jobs and we want to have good economy.
Okay, well, let's turn then to Trey Watson of the Kentucky Republican Party. The values behind the Republican Party, again, why are you a Republican?
Well, I think when you talk to Republicans, regardless, the Republican Party is made up of a broad spectrum of people. You've got social conservatives, fiscal conservatives, people who believe in a stronger, larger military, people who believe in a lot of free trade, people who believe in not much international trade. It's a huge, we always like to say the Republican Party is the big tent party. I think the one thing that really binds us together as a party is a belief in individual freedom and a belief that the government's job is to create an atmosphere in which the individual can thrive and survive. Not the government's role is not to give you stuff to make you thrive and survive. It's supposed to create an atmosphere that allows the individual to prosper. Certainly, we believe there's people who are in conditions not necessarily their own making that we need to help. But by and large, the government's role is to create an atmosphere that helps facilitate business, helps facilitate learning, helps facilitate the growth of the individual, and then get out of the way and let the individual thrive.
Would it be appropriate to use a term that I don't think I've heard in a little while, free enterprise?
I think that'd be very appropriate.
I mean, that's the core of capitalism.
Yes.
As a philosophy.
I think you can apply it across outside of capitalism and business, though. I think it goes through onto individual freedoms, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. I'm a Republican because I'm a strong, strict constructionist myself. I have a belief that the founders wrote an amazing document in the Constitution, and I believe that when it comes especially to the Supreme Court justices, that Republicans tend to lean more towards originalists and people who take a more strict viewing of the Constitution.
Again, as a Center College student, you're well educated in these philosophies, perhaps influenced by Ben Knoll or some of the other professors down there. But let's define those terms. Constructionalist. Would you say that Republicans tend to look at the Constitution, reading it in a more literal sense,
yeah,
word for word, the way it was written, exactly in those words?
Yeah, I think that strict constructionist means you look at the document and you don't try to read things into it and try to say, well, what they were really meaning here was. No, we look at it and we say, this: what's in the Constitution is what's in the Constitution.
Now, let me follow up, and I'll get back to Daniel here quickly. But Daniel talks about education, health care, the economy, jobs. You Republicans aren't concerned about those?
Well, I think I'm talking more in a broad-based kind of general course. In the smaller world of the election cycle, of course, we're concerned about all of those things. Education, Governor Bevin's put a ton of money into K-12. I think we have different views on how some of that money should be spent between the two parties, and where some of it should be directed. Healthcare, obviously, there's a great divide, both the national and state level between the parties on how it should be done. We believe once again in free enterprise and letting the market help, and then jobs, the economy. I think we already kind of touched upon, but just government's there to create a environment to succeed.
Okay, so let's turn to Daniel Lowry, and again in the same fashion, responding to some things that Trey said here. Democrats not concerned about individual freedoms, concerned about the free enterprise and an atmosphere to encourage the individual to achieve?
Definitely we're concerned about entrepreneurship, developing the economy, letting small business grow, because those are key things to our economy. And you mentioned that I was with the Labor Cabinet for 2 years or so as their spokesperson and communications director. Before that, I was with the Economic Development Cabinet and as their spokesperson. And so you look at the economy and you look at the importance of those aspects. Kentucky has done well in the fact that two times in a row, under Governor Beshear's leadership, Kentucky won the Site Selection Magazine's award basically for the most economic development projects per capita in the country. And so those are very important things for our state.
Before we take a break, if we can do this in about a minute and a half each, why are you supporting your party's presidential candidate? And of course, that's the big issue on everyone's mind as we approach next Tuesday. Again, Daniel, as a Democrat, why is Hillary Clinton the candidate that you think should be the president of the United States?
Hillary is the most experienced. She is the most fit for the job. And there's no doubt that she will lead our country with cool, steady leadership. And I am frightened to have the prospect of Donald Trump as our nation's leader.
Trey, that's something that hasn't been said prior to this election. There's been a lot of folk. There's some strong emotion about the Republican Party head of the ticket this year. People saying things frightened, really concerned about the possibility of a presidency under your candidate. Why are you, I assume, supporting the Republican Party's nominee?
Well, first of all, to Daniel's comment, you know, there's a whole system in place. The president can't just go out and push one button and make things go. So I don't think there's any reason to be frightened. Hillary Clinton, I think, is grossly unfit, especially for Kentucky, to be president. She's made very anti-coal comments. She is still embroiled in a ongoing FBI investigation. There's a report out now that indictments may possibly be likely in the Clinton Foundation and pay-to-play stuff. But as far as our nominee is concerned, I support the Republican nominee because beyond the presidency, the power of appointment is incredibly powerful. And even if you don't like, and I certainly have not agreed with everything that Donald Trump says or wants to do, however, he's going to get to appoint at least one U.S. Supreme Court justice, maybe three. There's thousands of jobs, including people who lead agencies like the EPA, that he's going to get to appoint. And he is more likely to appoint people who I agree with and who Republicans agree with to run those agencies and to craft regulations coming from those agencies than Hillary Clinton is. So I think it's imperative with the power of appointment that you support your party's nominee.
Our guests in the studio are Trey Watson, Communication Director for the Republican Party of Kentucky, and Daniel Lowry, Communication Director for the Kentucky Democratic Party. We do have calls on the line, and we want to get to our calls after a short station break. We want to encourage you to speak up. What are the values behind your vote next Tuesday? You can say whom you're going to vote for, certainly, but we really don't want to try to convince anybody. We're not trying to make this a Facebook of the air, but we're interested in the values. What is behind your vote, your philosophy behind voting on November the 8th? 800-621-8890. Send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest.
Voting time. Time to give electoral dysfunction another try. Voting time. Maybe you're a partisan, or maybe you're a little bi. Voting time. Meditate or flip a coin until the right decision comes.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Voting time, 5 days away, as our program is live on Thursday. If you tune in on Sunday evening, it's even closer. The election is, of course, Tuesday, November the 8th, and we're interested in the values behind your vote. Thank our producers for locating this little tune from, I think, the artist's name, Robert Lund, Voting Time. You'll hear a little bit more of that during our program. as we ask for the values behind your vote when you call 800-621-8890. Send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Let's go to line four and punch in Amy from Lexington, who's been waiting on the line. Thank you, Amy, for being with us. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I completely reject the idea that people should be in it for themselves. It is my responsibility and everyone's to support others when they're struggling. I support politicians who want more equal educational access, healthcare access, job training, and when it's necessary, financial support when someone has fallen on hard times. I don't support anyone who takes advantage of others for their own personal gain. It's not a good business mind. It's just exploitation.
Are you implying that some candidates take advantage of the process for their own personal gain?
I'm saying that some politicians, I'm saying that Donald Trump has specifically exploited people and taking advantage of their services and not paying them for it. And it's exploitation because he has his he has money to back him up. He has lawyers to back him up that small businesses don't have.
Amy, this is Daniel Lowry with the Democratic Party. I wholeheartedly agree with your statements. And I think it's important to note that Donald Trump has conned people. I mean, you look at Trump University, you're talking about ripping off thousands of dollars from working people. And one of the key values, we're talking about values today. And if you look at Christianity, for example, and you look at Christian values and you look in the Bible, I had a pastor tell me the other day that there are about 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with helping people with poverty and deal with poverty. And I think helping people is a core tenet of the Democratic Party, and being able to stand up and say, you know what, here's somebody who needs our help. Let's don't be selfish.
I think, you know, the Republican Party certainly does not, we're not there to leave people hanging if they're in need. However, you know, our general philosophy as a party is to give people the tools that they need to pull themselves back up so that they can stand by themselves, whereas the Democrat Party, I think, kind of helps bind people to the system, makes them more reliant on the government benefits they're receiving.
All right. Thank you, Amy, for your call. Again, we're asking listeners about the values behind your vote. And, of course, again, voting from the top of the ticket, if that's the appropriate way to describe it, if something has to lead the document. But the top of the ticket, of course, the presidential race. There's a Senate race. There are six House races. Wherever you live in Kentucky, you're going to be asked to vote for a representative to the House of Representatives. A couple of races more contentious than others. Of course, the 6th District, which WEKU is running profile pieces on, and listeners can find on the website. There is the entire Kentucky House of Representatives up for grabs. Is it 100? Is it exactly? It's exactly 100.
Yeah, there's, 65 contested races.
Right.
And that is on your ballot if you're voting here in Kentucky. Many Kentucky voters will be asked to vote for a representative to the Kentucky Senate. Many, many other races out there. So what are the values behind your vote? 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Estelle from Richmond is on the line. Estelle, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for taking my call.
So tell us about the values behind your voting on Tuesday.
Well, I am firmly behind the Democratic policies that have been expressed by all the candidates, the top of the ticket, all the way down to our local representatives, especially Ms. Rita Smart, who works tirelessly for us in Frankfort. I believe that these people that are running for the on the Democratic side, share my values of supporting education and the schools that we have, making them better each day. And I also think that they support health care, especially the Affordable Care Act, which has helped so many in Kentucky. It's going to be a real shame if all of these 400 and some odd people, 400 and thousands some odd people are deprived of health care just because other people do not share those values of making people healthy in Kentucky.
And Estelle,
I firmly believe that if people are healthy, they do better in their jobs, in their schooling, and in their personal lives.
Well, let's be clear. The Republican Party and Governor Bevin specifically are not trying to deprive anyone from health care. The fact of the matter is, and this is an undisputable fact, we cannot afford the system the way that it is currently structured. Governor Bevin has proposed a waiver to CMS that would allow us to keep all the people who were granted health care through the expansion of Medicaid in the system, but in a way that we can afford without having to make drastic and draconian cuts to other parts of our state budget. The Democrats, unfortunately, have not offered any sort of rebuttal proposal that would allow us to sustain that system financially. You may not like the proposal that was made, but Governor Bevin is trying to put something forth that would allow the proposal to remain, with the expansion to remain, without gross cuts to the rest of the budget to cover it.
You know, Estelle, it makes a very good point, and I appreciate her comments. And it is true that we have in Kentucky more than 400,000 people who are working people. This is expanded Medicaid. These are people who are at 138% above the poverty line. These are people who work. This is not a handout. These are people who have been able to obtain health care and who may have their lives on the line because of it. And this is sustainable. This is a program. Expanded Medicaid has created jobs in Kentucky. We're talking about 13,000 jobs in the healthcare industry alone. Expanded Medicaid has brought in about $3 billion, more than that, according to the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy, more than $3 billion now to our economy in Kentucky. And it's helping communities. Like, for example, if you look at Pulaski County in Kentucky, expanded Medicaid has brought in more than $46 million to that county alone, just for an example.
Okay. We have with us in the studio Daniel Lowry, Communication Director for the Kentucky Democratic Party, Trey Watson, Communication Director with the Republican Party of Kentucky. We are glad to have their opinion. We want to hear their opinion, but we want to hear from our listeners with your values behind your vote on Tuesday. And waiting for us on line six will be Anthony. And Anthony says he's voting as a Democrat, as apparently the last couple of callers have indicated. Anthony, thank you for being on the air. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm voting as a Democrat. Health, education, all the things that have been said before are extremely important to me. I do think that the state of Kentucky has enough money to run a health care program or to allow for Obamacare to be here, which has been very successful. So I disagree with the Republican person that said that, because it's incorrect. It's bad information. But I want to say that as an African-American living in Lexington, Kentucky, a place where we have 14% of the population is African-American, but a good percentage, almost over 25% of its population, African-Americans, cannot vote in the state of Kentucky because they've been got felony convictions. I think that I would love to have a candidate that speaks to that. I think Hillary Clinton speaks to that, and Donald Trump doesn't speak to that. I think that Nancy Jo Kemper speaks to that, mm-hmm. and Andy Barr definitely doesn't speak to it, and I think Jim Gray speaks to that as well.
Right.
So that's my comment.
Anthony, thank you.
And Anthony is
thank you.
Makes very good points as well, and I appreciate you calling, Anthony. Governor Bevin even spoke to voting rights, and he ran on this issue of restoring voting rights to convicted nonviolent offenders. And they've paid their debt to society. Now they should be able to be a part of the democratic process. And that was what Governor Bevin promised. But now here we are a year later, and he has restored zero rights. Zero. And that was another one of the lies that we've heard from Governor Bevin initially, just like saying he would release his tax returns. It was a lie. And it was a lie that he would restore voting rights. And he lied to people like Anthony, who may have voted on that issue for Governor Bevin. And that is a real shame.
Let's turn to the governor's spokesperson on today's show.
You're lying about governor governor right now. I attended
an event. How exactly am I lying?
Governor Bevin, unlike our previous governor, looked at the situation and realized, I cannot simply do this by gubernatorial edict. It requires a law. I attended an event at the Republican National Convention this year with the criminal justice reform group, and Governor Bevin spoke quite passionately about the need to remove legal restrictions and the public stigma of people who have felony convictions, so we can get them their voting rights back. We can get them back to work. We're not creating a class of people who are kind of outside of the system. To say what you've said about the governor, that he's actively not doing this, that's a lie. It's distorting the facts. It's not genuine. And really, the voters are owed better than that. They owe the full truth of what the governor's doing.
Our guests in the studio are Trey Watson, Communication Director for the Republican Party of Kentucky, if you can't tell. Daniel Lowry, Communication Director for the Democratic Party, if you likewise can't tell that. We're interested in hearing from you, our listeners. Glad to hear about what's behind your vote as you go to the polls on Tuesday. 800-621-8890. We do have lines open for your calls. Send us an email. I've got to check the email, make sure there's not one waiting here. The email is wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. We'd love to hear your voice, though. This is a radio show, so hearing your voice on the phone is a really good thing. 800-621-8890. Let's talk to Edward from Corbin. Edward, thank you for calling. Let's talk about the values behind your voting on Tuesday.
Well, the main question I have is, and what drives me, aggravates me, is why are we voting for people like Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, and them when they get themselves a raise of 7%, and yet last year, I'm on Social Security disability. We got no raise in our disability last year because gas prices went down, yet they gave themselves a 7% raise, which averaged out to $28,000 more for them. And we get a 1% raise, which comes out to $107 that I get a year. What fairness is all congressional leaders and senatorial personnel allowed to have 7% more money than us on Social Security and veteran benefits when they sit on their butts and do nothing that we need help with? Now, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, these guys are millionaires 20 times over. They don't need $28,000 a year. Give it to me. I can pay some bills with it. I live on $1,000 a month, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
And they give themselves a 7% raise. Now, another 7% raise, we'll know at the end of this month whether we get a Social Security raise of 1.5%. If we do get it, I'll get a whole grand total for the year of $130. And yet he'll raise himself 7%. Of another $31,000.
So, Edward, would it be safe to say the value you're concerned about is a kind of an economic, financial
equanimity? Exactly. They give themselves $28,000 a year, and I get a lousy $110 a year?
Edward,
where's the family?
Good point to be raised in our conversation this morning. Thank
what
you for doing
so. This is what needs to be done is, in my opinion, is that the president does have the power to freeze all congressional and senatorial raises for as long as he wishes. Freeze them for 20 years. Give that 5% even, 5% of that, to Social Security and veteran benefits for the next 20 years.
All right, Edward.
Then after the 20 years is up, they get a 1% raise. That's it, 1%.
We're going to move on. We're talking about values behind voting on Tuesday. I think we know where Edward is coming from. Let me just turn this around for our guests. Let me ask you this. Is there not a throw-the-bums-out attitude this year?
Absolutely.
Is that part of what's going on with the Trump candidacy and even a lot of Democrats are feeling like something's got to really change?
I think it's older than – you go back and you look at Governor Bevin's election last year, and I think that plays – you can see the early formants of there. You have Governor Bevin. You have Bernie Sanders on the Democrat side. You have Donald Trump. I mean, Bernie Sanders on issues such as coal is worse for Kentucky than Hillary Clinton was. But Eastern Kentucky voted heavily for Bernie Sanders because they believe the system is broken, and they thought he would be the one to come in and blow it up. And I think that's why you see a lot of Donald Trump support coming from that direction as well.
Yeah, and I would speak to Edward, and I would say thank you for calling. And I would tell him there is good news. You have a chance to help fire – Rand Paul. And that's why you need to vote for Jim Gray. And because Jim Gray is going to fight for workers, for people who need help, not for the wealthy business owners, millionaires who help the corporations, like Andy Barr. So those are important issues for helping working people that Democrats fight for. And it, and to me, it's shocking that we've had four callers and they've all been basically supporting Democrats when you hear time after time again that Kentucky is a red state.
Well, this is an NPR station. Let's be fair, these are educated listeners.
These are educated, active listeners, and I hope they vote. And this is really why I think we won three out of four special elections back in March. And this is why I think that we will hold the House in November, this November, on November the 8th.
Let me toss this out. Again, we're asking listeners to talk about the values behind your vote. We certainly do want to hear from the Trump supporters. We want to hear from the Republicans who are in our listening audience, and we know that there are many. NPR is not all Democrat and all left-leaning, as some might stereotype, but of course, some folks are more outspoken than others. So we want to encourage you to get on the line with your comments what is behind your vote on November 8th.
Let me say something, too, to Edward's previous call and his point that Daniel made is, you know, there is an opportunity to change the way that politicians are compensated this year. You know, for several sessions in a row, Republicans have attempted to pass a bill in the General Assembly that would allow legislators to opt out of the legislative pension program, which, while the teacher's pension and state employee pension systems are woefully underfunded, the legislative pension system is very well funded. Democrats have blocked that bill. Legislators are mandated, even if they don't want it, to take a pension. That's just wrong.
Let's go to Stefan on line five, calling from London. Stefan, go right ahead.
Thank you. As far as Mr. Lowry's comments earlier about Christianity and talking to a pastor, as much as I appreciate you revealing that Christians do believe in helping others, I think it's rather offensive to me that the Democratic Party would try to use that against Christians and use that to sway votes. Because in Christianity, yes, we do believe in helping people, but it's of our own free will and not the governance of our country. We do that because Jesus first loved us and laid down his life sacrificially, and we do that in order to show the love of Jesus Christ to others.
Let me ask you this, Stefan. We're running out of time because of a break. Your vote is tending. Can we assume that you're voting more in the Trump direction than the Republican direction?
My vote is for Mr. Trump.
I'll tell you what. We're going to come back to you, Stefan. We've got to take a short break here, but hang on the line. We're coming back. This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. Send a tweet at WEKUEST.
I know you just want to tax my home. I know you just want to tap my phone. I know you just won't leave me alone. So I vote.
It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're talking about the election. Thank God it's almost over. I think we can all probably, as a nation, breathe some kind of a sigh of relief, whether we're happy with the results early Wednesday morning or not. But the election is Tuesday, and we're interested in the values behind your vote during that election. And we still, I think, have a line or two open for your call at 800-621-8890. And Stefan, I normally would not keep a call through the station break, but you're making some interesting points. I want to make sure we pick up with you in terms of the values behind your vote for Mr. Trump for president.
Yes, well, the Clintons have a proven track record of oppressing others where it comes from Haiti by putting grain workers or farmers out of business by their NAFTA trade. Let me just reiterate this. In Christianity, capitalism is not something that I think God wants as far as exploiting others. Now, in the Bible, there are people who make money and they give freely to people. If you look at Zacchaeus, he gives four times the amount of what he took back from people, and he's a tax collector. But obviously, in communism, if you look at communism, if you look at Christian values, the early church gave to those other believers as they needed to meet their needs, not a government, a Caesar tax of sorts, in order to take from people and decide what they should do with their money.
We're going to move on from there. With that, Stefan, we're going to move on. Your basis for your vote is based in your Christian beliefs, and we appreciate hearing that side. 800-621-8890. Other callers waiting. I'll give Trey Watson and Daniel Lowry 30 seconds each to respond to what Stefan said before we go to our next caller.
Well, I think that goes into like what I said, our whole kind of overarching philosophy of the party is to help people succeed. And part of succeeding, though, is helping your fellow man. You look at studies, Republicans consistently are higher for private donations to different charities. You know, I think that we both want the same thing to make sure that everyone's taken care of. We just have different philosophies on how we get there.
It is interesting that, and I appreciated Stefan's comments too, and it's good to hear from someone who is a Christian and who studies the Bible. And I would point out that take a look at what Christianity Today said about Donald Trump. And that's a Christian magazine founded by Billy Graham. Billy Graham is someone I've always just loved listening to, think the world of him. And I would say check out what the magazine said about Donald Trump and his comments about basically advocating sexual harassment against women and some of the things that he has done in his life. I would really look at those and say, how in the world could any Christian vote for Donald Trump?
The values behind your vote, that is the topic of this week's Eastern Standard, and we're focusing on the response from our listeners. And let's talk to Alex from Georgetown. Alex, thank you for being on the line. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I would have to say that I have been a registered Democrat. I'm 26 now. I've been a registered Democrat since I was 18 years old. And I have never voted Republican, and this year that's changing. I can say that I absolutely refuse to vote for someone like Hillary Clinton, not only due to the scandal and the murder and the blood on her hands in Benghazi, but aside from that, going back to what one of your Republicans said that was on the line, he said that people that are down and need the help that the Democratic Party continues to keep them in that situation. They don't help them temporarily to get them out of poverty. They help them to keep them into poverty. And I have to say, I completely agree with that. I'm a working mother. I'm a full-time college student. And yes, I've needed the help. And they have never done anything to get me out. The harder I work, the less they give. And my fiance works 70 hours a week only to have his premiums doubled and his coverage cut in half as far as, you know, Obamacare goes. And, you know, my mother's a CPA, so she works with, you know, those tax credits every year. And it's crazy. I mean, I never thought that I would vote Republican, but I have never been more excited to vote for a candidate in all my years of voting.
Alex, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. I'm also from Georgetown, and I appreciate you and what you said. And I think it's great that you point out that you were a Democrat most of your life, and now you've basically you're telling us that you want to vote Republican. And I would encourage you, being from Georgetown, to really look at Chuck Tackett in that district and Tom McKee. Those are two gentlemen who I think you would really support. And those are two folks who are definitely fighting for the very issues that you care about. And I would really urge you to look into them and check out their information on their websites.
Well, I doubt she would support either of them since they voted to make Obamacare permanent in the state of Kentucky, and that's one of her main complaints.
They could not have voted for Obamacare. Well, that's a federal issue.
They voted to make the Beshear
Connect
the Connect and the expansion of permanent city.
Connect
Kentucky.
Connect was a national model.
Beyond that, Daniel,
that would be
Daniel,
very good
if I'm well, Why do we have all the insurers leaving state then?
It's a big difference to vote for.
If I can speak to her other point, though. You know, people like Alex. One of the issues we have in this country is people like Alex who are in the middle are the ones who are in the worst shape. And those are the people that the Republican Party wants to help. You know, the Democratic Party sets up all these benefits for the people who need it, who need a hand up. However, once you get about halfway up, they stop helping you. And, you know, the Republican Party wants to create an environment that allows those people to continue to move up. We want to empower them with the tools to continue their advancement, to continue to make a better life for themselves, not to stay where they are.
The values behind your vote, the topic of this week's Eastern Standard, still some time for you to get on the line, if we have a line open. I'm not sure if we do at the moment. If you get a busy signal, wait for somebody to hang up and try back. 800-621-8890 is our number. And did we say we have on line four, Jacob? I think this is Jacob on line four. Thanks for calling, Jacob. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. I guess the only real thing I want to say is that the Democrats have controlled this state for over 150 years. They've made this mess. The Republicans are trying to clean it up, and the Democrats want to blame the Republicans for everything that they have done for the past 150 years. I mean, honestly, we've only had, three Republican governors, and they were all one terms. And this one's probably going to be a one term, too. And you're going to tell me he's the one that caused all of this? This is the reason that people are voting for Trump, right? This is going to be the biggest middle finger to the whole country, saying that we are going to change the status quo.
So let me ask you this, Jacob, the value behind your vote. You mentioned the middle finger. I mean, is that the value? Is that the feeling behind your vote? What can we get into words?
Trump is not my ideal candidate, right? But this is what I have, and he is the only person that will flip the establishment on its head.
We hear voters like you every day, Jacob, who just have kind of thrown their hands up, and you know this is why we're going to flip the House this year, especially when you look at in East Kentucky.
Please don't cut Jacob off, though. I wanted to ask him a question. Don't hang up on him.
Okay. All right, we'll keep him on the line.
You know, voters, especially in Eastern Kentucky, have just kind of thrown their hands up and said, "I'm Democrat. My dad was Democrat. My granddaddy was Democrat because Roosevelt was a Democrat." And they've just looked at it and said, "These things are not getting better. I've got to do something different."
Okay.
And that's where my family comes from, is Eastern Kentucky. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are swamped.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. What is it really? Maybe you could speak to this a little bit more and tell us about what exactly that you're upset about. What is it specifically that you really? What gets you? What are you upset about? What is the problem that you would point to?
The number one thing is health insurance. Everything that the last caller said, I mean, I'm dittos to her.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't get ahead. I mean, the people at the top are. It's like the cards are all stacked against us. And then whenever you get a college education, you can't get out of debt from that, right? I mean, it just feels like the whole world is compounding upon us, and we can't get out from underneath it. And all I see is the problems that the Democrats have set in place. My dad is about to retire from the state, and the state pensions are running out. He's not going to be able. He's got to get a second job.
So that's a value. That's a concern. Concern with the retirement system, the funding, obviously an acknowledged issue on all sides.
Yeah, let's look at that issue. And I think that may be his key point was about the pension issue. And you look at that and you say, okay, let's blame the Democrats. And I think that's a very unfair statement. And most experts would tell you that it's really on both of us. It's on Republicans and it's on Democrats.
It was for the first couple of years. Then they blocked several years of reforms that could have stopped the problem earlier on.
And you look at this last budget cycle and you see how the pension basically was fully funded by the Democratic budget, the Democratic House budget, democratically controlled. But for so long we've had a Republican Senate and we've had a Democratic House. And the problem goes back past Bashir and past Ernie Fletcher, and you say both parties dropped the ball there.
Okay, on that, we'll move back to our listeners, and let's see if we can just let maybe the listeners' comments stand here. We're interested in your values, what is behind your vote on Tuesday, and this would be Mary from Wilmore. Mary, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Are you there, Mary? Apparently not. We don't hear any breathing, do we? So we go to line six and talk to Johnny on line six. Are you there, Johnny? Hey, Johnny, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, we're glad to
yes,
hear
sir.
From
Thanks
you.
Thanks for taking the call.
Turn the radio down.
I live in eastern Kentucky, and the coal situation has just devastated my neighbors and friends. And and Obama was saying that, you know, he's shutting this down. It seems like he has no care for a whole area of Appalachia, and that the taxes from that coal severance underwrite our whole way of life. And I'm just disappointed terribly with the Democrats.
All right.
And that's all I have to say.
Really appreciate your comments, Johnny, from eastern Kentucky. Let's go to, would this be line three, Donna? Let's try Donna on line three. We're listening to our listeners talk about values behind your vote on Tuesday. Go right ahead, Donna.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, as I said, you know, I don't know why people always want to bring religion in it, first of all. And believe me, people saying they're a Christian, I'm a Christian too. But what I'm saying is I don't know how anyone could vote for Donald Trump. I grew up in the hills of eastern Kentucky, and I saw a lot of crooked politicians. I saw judges being bought off, people paying them money to vote. I mean, I grew up in that era that, you know, you saw these little tiny towns. And all that. My grandfather was John Asher Sr., who owned, he was the largest landholder without being a corporation in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s in the coal mining and timber business, you know? And so I got to hear all this political stuff, but I was never political. In my young generation, I was in the hippie generation, I never partook of any of those protests and all that stuff. I was never interested in it. But I don't know how anyone could vote for Donald Trump. I mean, how could anybody compare him to Roosevelt? Are you kidding me? And believe me, I'm a historian. I'm a history nut.
I want to know everything that
happened in the past.
Am I correct in understanding that you've never voted before?
In their right mind, why would you vote for somebody? I mean, after all, let's look at the facts. Number one, bankruptcy, bankruptcy, bankruptcy. How can you run anything? I mean, I know. I was a dental hygienist for 39 years, and let me tell you, dentists and everybody else have to be just as honest as everybody else is. Now, you cannot take somebody that's been in bankruptcy 500 times or 10 times or whatever and think that they're going to know how to run something. You know, I mean, there's lots of people that don't know how to run a business.
Donna,
you know,
I think we've heard where you're coming from, and I've got a couple of other folks waiting, so we're going to move on to some of the additional listeners on this week's Eastern Standard. Let's go to Danny. Is Danny on the line from Pineville? Are you there, Danny? Danny from line five. Apparently not. Is that a technical issue? Let's try line four. Deborah in Frankfurt. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Deborah, you've got about 30 seconds or a minute.
Okay. I have a unique perspective. I'm a Kentucky native, but I lived in New York City for 23 years. I lived in New York City during 9/11. And what people here don't know is Donald Trump helped the city through that horrible nightmare. And I hope Donna from Eastern Kentucky is still listening, because he's rude and lewd, but he's authentic. He does care about people. He is a true humanist. Hillary Clinton is a robot. You know, why don't you ask Sean Smith's mother how much Hillary Clinton is a humanist and cares about people? I know Donald Trump is rude and he says terrible things and he does horrible, you know, he's not somebody you want your kid to emulate. But he's a businessman, and he believe me, he does care about people. I worked in a Trump property. My best friends lived in Trump-managed complexes when he was young, and, you know, he managed them himself. He was still the hand-on property manager. He dealt with them fairly. He overlooked people's rent. A lady got behind in the rent on her store. He forgave it. I mean, you know, well, try to look beyond the rough exterior.
Interesting perspective you bring us, Deborah. Thank you so much. Really grateful for your call. Let me acknowledge a tweet from listener Rhodes, the first name Rhodes, I believe. Callers complain Dems are the source of their problems. Kentucky has the most powerful senator in the land who hasn't helped in 32 years. All right, gentlemen, we have with us still in the studio Daniel Lowry and Trey Watson. I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds to make your pitch to close out our program this week. Let's start with Daniel Lowry.
Well, thank you, John. It's been great to be here. And to wrap it up, we talked about a lot of issues, a lot of things. Education, healthcare, and the jobs, I think, stick out. And it's important to note that a lot of folks tend to forget that there's a difference between local candidates and national candidates. And here in Kentucky, we have a full set of House candidates who care about issues that matter to you. And I would say vote for yourself. Vote for healthcare, vote for education, vote for jobs, vote for Democrats.
Trey Watson, Republican.
Democrats have controlled the Kentucky State House for almost a century. Things have not gotten better the last couple of decades. If you think you're better now than where you were 15, 20 years ago, that's great. I think most Kentuckians would disagree. I think it's time for a change, and I encourage you to vote for your Republican candidates, especially at the state house level this year.
One place we can all agree is encouraging everyone to get out and vote on Tuesday, November the 8th, and, of course, tune in for election coverage. The results are here from NPR, WEKU, Kentucky Public Radio, the Ohio Valley Resource on WEKU. All of that starting at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Brian Burkhart, Marissa Hempel, and Grant Willoughby. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. Thanks again to our two guests, Trey Watson and Daniel Lowry. Write to us anytime, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WEKU EST. The show will be available as a podcast by Thursday afternoon, usually before 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and repeated on Sunday evening at 6. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in to Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.